afternoon, everyone. My name's Clarissa and I'm an addict. I'm nervous, especially since they made me go first. Is everybody here, have everybody here used or know how to use? Good, then I ain't got to do a drug load. Okay, good. Courage to change. When they called me and asked me to speak on this topic, I told them I had to call my sponsor. Because, see, even with a couple of 24 hours under my belt, I still don't jump into things. I still try not to people please. And when I told her the topic, she was like, "You needed to call me." Because a lot of changes have happened in my life. And it took courage to do that. So the suggestion that I got was to look up courage and to look up change, and with all the definitions that they give you, find the one that fits your life. It fits you. And because I'm old and memory ain't what it used to be, I had to write it down. And the one I came up with says the state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to accept danger, fear, with confidence, bravery, and resolution. That was courage. And change was a transformation, a transition. And the key word that I found in this was acceptance. See, because change is going to happen regardless as to what I do. I can be in denial. I can try to prolong it. I can try to avoid it. But change don't need my permission. Because I've come to know I'm not running nothing. And as much as I try to hold on to whatever's happening, because I'm not ready to change yet, or I'm not ready to accept it, or I have not allowed my mind and my spirit to get there, it's going to happen anyway. And by me holding on, all I do is open up a road for pain. See, because I haven't had any courage. In order to have courage, for me, I have to accept some things. I don't get no courage until I accept stuff. When I came in here, they told me to accept that I was an addict. I had a problem with that. I came to meetings and I said I was an addict, but I did not believe I was an addict. See, because I came in here still being a get-wit. I came in here and I listened to you all and I watched you all and I watched people raise their hands and say their name and say they was an addict. And even though I wasn't talking, I was still sitting there like I was an addict. But I didn't believe I was an addict. I had to look up an addict. I had to start reading the basic text from the beginning. I couldn't start at step one. See, I had to read who was an addict. Because coming in here, just hearing y'all read that in the beginning of the meeting wasn't enough for me. I had to read the literature on who was an addict to identify. See, and then I got some courage. I had to accept that I was an addict. And then I had to accept that I was powerless. And they told me that once you admit out loud that you're powerless, you get some power. And that's the same thing it is, the same way it is for me with courage to change. Once I accept and admit out loud that I'm scared, or I don't want to do this, or I'm not ready for this, I get some courage to do whatever is coming down the pike. Last year, I was chairperson of this convention, and I was scared. And there was a lot of personalities and a lot of differences, and all it was a bunch of people that took on something and wasn't brave enough to do it at the time. But as time went on, we got some courage. You know, and just like the literature tells us, we can disagree without being disagreeable. Well, after we got disagreeable, we learned to disagree. We did it backwards, but it's okay. We addicts, we learned, you know. In my life, in the last year, changes have taken place with no say-so for me. And I know they say some things aren't for meetings, you know, but I know everything that people tells me not for meetings, it's about saving my butt. See, because I've come to know the difference between the fellowship and the program. See, this is fellowship right here. Fellowship, okay. Fellowship is a group of people getting together. It's one or two people that's talking about something, helping one another. That's fellowship. The program of Narcotics Anonymous told me to ask for help. See, they told me to go to a sponsor, to go to another experienced member of Narcotics Anonymous when I needed some help with something. Go to experienced member. seeing the changes that was going on in my life, and I kept fellowshipping about it, and I would get surface help. And I didn't know if it was because you didn't want to hurt my feelings, you were a people pleaser and was just trying to appease me. But I had to go to the program, and the program tells me that there will come a time in your recovery that the only thing between you and picking up is your higher power. See, when I say pick up, I ain't talking about picking up a pipe, y'all. See, because sometimes when change comes and I'm not ready for it, I want to act out. All them defects that I worked on, all them shortcomings that I worked on, they surfaced. And I noticed that I was picking up. I was cussing more. I was non-caring about my job. I didn't have time. I was isolating. I had no tolerance. All my shortcomings. So I had to do what I had to do. I had to come in the meeting and get some help. See, because my network, my immediate network that I choose to share things with is a group of people that fits my personality. See, I know not to call Denise if I want to gossip about somebody, because Denise practicing her program, that ain't what she about. See? So I know if I want to fight somebody or talk to some shit, I call Jackie, because Jackie all for that. And if I want to eat, I call Michelle. Or Sherry. You know, all the good carry out that if I want to eat to my feelings. You know? So I had to change. I had to change in order to get the help I needed. And the help I needed was adapting to the change of my marriage ending. And when I took it to a meeting and I shared about it, and I didn't intend to share about it. I did not go to that meeting to share. It was a marathon meeting. And the speaker prior to me sharing was all talking about, and it was wrenching my gut open. And I could feel the tears welling up. But see, I'm a proud, egotistical sister. I ain't gonna let y'all see me cry. I can handle this. I got this thing. He ain't all that. The next speaker came. Tore my butt wide open. And when he say open the meeting up, my hand shot straight up in the air. And I did not even know it was going there. And I shared. And after that, some experienced sisters and brothers gave their experience, strength, and hope in that area. You know, and a brother shared about how he went through, and I think men go through that, but a brother shared how he was going through the exact same thing, went through it, living in the basement or whatever, knowing that it was over, holding on way past the expiration warranty and some more dates, you know, refusing to leave. And as he was talking, tears started coming out of my eyes. And after a couple of people spoke, the speaker broke in, and you know, he said, just 1 minute. He said, you know what, sister, I'm glad to see you cry. And my sponsees was on both sides of me, and they were there. See, and that tells me that that sponsorship thing works both ways, because they was there for me. And I didn't look at it as an hour of darkness, see, because I knew I could get through this. But see, the change, the courage to change came from knowing it's over, accepting that it's over, and doing what the program taught me to do. Accept this shit and move on. Let go. You know, see, because I knew it was over, but I was in denial. And I kept trying to hold on and fix shit. You know, I kept saying what the Bible say and the fellowship say, but really it was me trying to make stuff work, because I ain't know what y'all would say about me, what y'all would think about me, and how could that have happened? See, but you know what? Once I accepted, once I got some courage, it wasn't about y'all recovery. It was about my recovery and the courage I had to go forth. And I went forth. And there is still a lot of changes going on as a result of. My job has made me change. You know, they gave me something that I didn't want. In spite, I kept saying, I don't want to be a manager. They gave me a manager. You know, one of those things, they say, we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. You know, and it wasn't about the money. They said, well, if you don't take this, you don't get this. I took it. They knew I was ready for the change prior to me, just like God knew I was ready for the change before I did. just like my sponsor knew I was ready to go to step two before I did. But she did wait for me to say, can I move now? She said, I was wondering how long you're going to stay there, you know. And just like when I got to step 8 and 9, she was like, you know what? It's foot time now. I was like, I've been doing footwork. She said, no, it's foot up your ass time now, you know, because that's the kind of push I need. Sometimes it's hard for me to accept change. Like I say, I don't have to be a willing participant. You know, some people get their outfit for tomorrow ready that night. I can't do that. I dress the way I feel. So if I go to bed with attitude, Lord knows what I'm going to have on in the morning. You know? So I have to practice. I practice. Get encouraged. And once I accepted things were over and we had to go our separate ways and we could still remain friends, we could still remain members of Narcotics Anonymous, we could still hug each other at a meeting, we could still call each other and say, how you doing, you know, or check this out, something. You know what? That's changed for me. See, because when I broke up with a nigga, he was a bunch of motherfuckers. You know? I was trying to slip some ties and key the side of the car. This is change. And I don't know if it's the age thing, I don't know if it's a program thing, I don't know if it's a fellowship thing, but I do know it's change. See, because Clarissa come from a place where, you don't put me down, I put you down. You know, we going through that thing. I broke with him. No, she quit me. No, I quit him. You know, we didn't go through that. To know that it was a mutual agreement and not have any hostility, you know, to still love unconditionally, to still be there for each other, you know, that was more than courage. That was more than courage. That was growth. That was growth. See, because I grew up in spite of myself. Each step was a growth for me. Each step was a turning point for me. I ain't come in here, like the literature say, brimming with, I wasn't even trying to stop using yet. I was like, they gave me 5 years probation. Okay, when I get on probation, I'm going to the crack house. But by the fifth year, y'all had turned me around. By the fifth year fellowshipping with you people, listening to you people, talking to you, getting a sponsor, doing some step work, going to meetings on a daily basis, having a home group, getting in the service, change me. I'm no longer the people-pleasing person. I'm no longer the person that just settles for anything. I don't just settle anymore. See, because today, even with me and my, what do I call them now? My significant other living separate lives, but still being a part of each other's life, even with that, I kind of grew it, another feather grew in my cap. Another rosebud came. You know, I still buck. I still don't understand some things, but I pray harder. See, because I know my higher power don't tell me no. He don't tell me no. No matter how good or how bad it is for me, my higher power never tell me no. He tell me not yet, but he don't tell me no. Just like the job I had, I wanted this job, I wanted this job. I applied for this job on 3 different times. They kept turning me down. It was God telling me not yet. So the last time when I applied for it, she said, you know what, you more than qualified for the job. She said, but you really need to work on your attitude. So I went to work on my attitude. Not for her or for the job, because she seen something that was hindering me that I didn't see. I had an attitude adjustment problem, and I had to get the courage to change it, and I did change it, and I got the job, but it ain't about the job, it's about me. It's about me changing. I'm a better person today. I'm not the person that I was 12 years ago. I'm not that person. Today, I love my life. I embrace life. When I moved out my husband's house by my choice, it was like the courage kind of enveloped me. And a sister in the fellowship told me, she said, pray for courage. Somebody that had been through this prior to me, she said, pray for courage. I'm like, pray for courage? She said, just pray for courage. I said, courage to do what? She said, nothing. Just pray for courage. She said, God will put it in the cup you need it in. Just pray for courage. Don't say courage to cross the street. Don't say courage to go to a meeting. Don't say courage to walk in and see him. Just courage. He'll give it to you at the moment you need it. You know, so when I walk in a meeting right after this happened, and my husband wanted to hug, going, how you doing? Thank God for you. It took courage to step into his arms and hug him back. Because I just prayed for courage. Because I was scared to do that. See, because some feelings were still involved. See, and I know you all told me as a woman, you can't lay down with folks and think you're going to get up and not feel nothing. See, well, I've been laying down for 5 years. I still feel some shit. And that's the truth. So it took courage to step in his arms and be able to hug him. And when we finished, turn around and hug somebody else, you know, that was at the meeting. And I still attend that meeting. Because they told me, what saves your life, what you all told me, stick to the basics. So if that's been my home group for 8 or 9 years, if that was a crack house I was going to for 8 or 9 years, you wouldn't have got my ass up out of there. So I'm not going to allow a failed relationship to get me up out of there. I woke up once I moved, and I moved with my sister, and I used to wake up and the sun, I kept my Venetian blinds open, and this was just for me, because I would go to bed and I would pray for courage, and I would wake up and open my eyes and I would stretch, and this is the truth, you all, I would stretch, and when I opened my eyes and saw the sunlight, it was like smack, courage hit me. And I would honestly, as I was stretching, when I finished stretching, I came back just like this. I said, come on, Day. I got you. Whatever you bringing me, I can handle it. Because I knew that my high power giving me some courage. See, because he said, Clarissa, stuff going to happen. You all told me. Things going to change. Some of them you ain't going to like. You know, meeting format change. People that I go to the same meeting with all of a sudden stop coming. Change happens. I have to accept it. And when I accept it, I get some courage. Courage, acceptance is the key that unlocks the courage. Get out of denial. You get some courage. As long as you stay in denial, if you're in denial, you're a coward. As long as I was in denial, I didn't want to face what was. Like I said, I knew it was over a long time ago, because that was denial. I kept holding on, you know, still doing little things around the house that you normally do, like ain't shit going on, ain't nothing happening, ain't nothing changed. Because I was in denial. As soon as I was a coward, I was scared to face what really was. And as soon as I got some acceptance, I got some courage. I started asking the right questions. Bottom line is this over? Yeah. Okay. Why didn't you tell me sooner? It's like, you knew. You right. I mean, what's the point of arguing? And people would say, damn, that's cold. What's cold about the truth? The thing that's cold about it is not being able to handle it. It ain't cold on his side. It was cold on my side. You know what? Because I wasn't putting myself through nothing. See, because I was acting as if. I was putting him through some torture. Because he knew that I knew, but I refused to know. You know what I mean? So it was the people around. See, it was kind of like substitution. It was kind of like using. It really was like using. And when you use, you hurt people around you. See, because I didn't know that my mother and my brothers was affected by my drug use. They wasn't at the table with me. But I didn't think about the time and the money I was taking from them, you know, or what their friends with relatives was thinking about them because I was on crack. And it was the same thing clean. Just because you get clean, just because you're recovering, don't think you ain't using. See, because some of us in here just clean. Today I choose to recover. Today I don't choose to substitute somebody's feelings for a crack pipe. Today I don't choose to substitute gossip for people pleasing. I can leave them both alone today. Today I got a lot of courage running through my veins. And it's only because of acceptance. It's only because of step one. Today I embrace life. Today I care about other people. Today, through the help of a sponsor, the sponsees in my life, I'm able to show some courage. You know, and I want to share this real quick, one thing. It came to a point one time, since we've been broke up, that I got angry. And I really wanted cowardness, because I'm angry, I want to hurt him. I want to make him feel some anger. Well, if you knew him, you know that that's impossible, you know? But I wanted to attack him verbally. And I called my sponsor and I told her, I told my sponsor what I wanted to do, see, because they told me before you use, call somebody. See, and it ain't just about picking up the pipe that you call somebody. See, when I want to act out, I got to call somebody. When I want to cuss you out, I got to call somebody. When I want to steal that tubalistic, I got to call somebody. You know, I work with money on my job. When I want to write that fake pedicab clip, I got to call somebody. I got to. See, because my disease affects every area of my life. Every area. It ain't about drug use. I use other shit before I use drugs, y'all. You know, I was a manipulating, scheming person before I picked up the pipe. You know, I knew how to cry, kick, and scream to get my way. You know, I knew how to wear tight, hot pants to get a nigga to look at me before I picked up a pipe. You know, I used... That was then. That was then. So I got to call somebody. And I called my sponsor. And she said, tell me what you would say. And I told her. And she was laughing. My sponsor laughs at me a lot. And we on the phone. And I said, why are you laughing? She said, because I can just see your head going. And your hands on your hips. I said, no, but I want to tell him. She said, now tell me this. Flip the coin over. Can you handle what he tells you back? She said, now that you flip the coin over, turn the coin over and over and over in your hand. See, because it's about the surroundings now. It's not just him and me anymore. She said, surroundings are, look at the example you set for your sponsees. Can you handle them seeing you in that light? And it's not an ego thing, y'all. It's an example of the power. Yes. See, it's not about my ego worrying about how y'all see me. I have to be an example of the program. See, this isn't about Clarissa. Just me. Y'all keep telling me I'm the most important person, but guess what? That newcomer that has come into my life and asked me to be a sponsor, I need to give her an example of the power. Yes. So I kept turning that coin around. I kept thinking of all these things. And then she said, and the bottom line is, what kind of feelings is this going to leave you with? And don't tell me satisfaction. She said, because your spirituality won't allow you to feel satisfied with trying to degrade or hurt or get somebody some negative stuff. And she was right. She said, now you still want to call? I said, yeah, I'm going to call myself. I was just thinking about you. Just want to tell you how I like you. That's the program I got in my life today. That's the fellowship of me and my sponsor today. She laughs at everything I give her. But when she's laughing, it's because, don't you see the answer already? That's why she's laughing. So courage to change is an easy thing. All you got to do is let go. That's the hardest thing. You know, even when we say let go and let God, it's just words through our lips. It's so hard to do. Just ask for courage. Courage to change. It's the serenity prayer. It's step one. That's it. What courage to change is. Courage to change is being able to call my sponsor, say, I need help. I don't know what to do. See, because even with 12 years clean, y'all, I can still be still suffering addict. Yeah. In and out these rooms. I'm not perfect. Because you get a few years under your belt, you have not arrived. You have not got this thing. You have not graduated. They told me it'd be about five. I get 5 years clean after I die. And I might have this thing. Might. You know. So being around here does not make me exempt. All it does is try to make me a better person. See, because I used to strive to be a perfectionist. My sponsor asked me, well, what's perfection? Being perfect. Well, who do you know that's perfect? And I'm sorry if I step on anybody's toes. The only thing I know perfect is Jesus Christ. Well, how you going to be like him? How you going to be perfect like Jesus Christ when Jesus said, you have not seen me and you love me, yet you see your sister and can't love her? Okay. So how can I be like him when I don't want to hug you in a meeting? How can I be try to strive for protection when I roll my eyes and talk about what you got on? How can I be striving for protection? How can I be striving for protection when you get up for a 24-hour chip? And I go, damn, do you ever get it? How am I striving for protection, for perfection? So she said, you know what? Stop saying perfection. This is a program of progression. Mm-hmm. not perfection. You know what? That was a big load off my back. See, because I knew I, as much as I tried, I could never get to perfection. With all the courage that I prayed for, I would never get to perfection. So today, my life progresses. My life progresses with change. My life progresses with acceptance. My life progresses with understanding and loving and caring higher power. It gives me everything I need. Even in the room for narcotics, at my office, at where I play, everywhere, he's there for me. Even when I'm doing wrong, so y'all don't have to accept me. It's okay. I love you anyway. And you know what? Ain't nothing you can do about me loving you. You can't stop it. And that's just what change is. You can't stop it. So accept it. How you gonna make me stop loving you? Try. I dare you. I can give you a week or two to think of something. But ain't nothing you can do about it. And that's the same thing with change. You know, the week or two is just holding on to let you know that you got to let go and let God. So I thank the committee. I thank my higher power. And I thank you all for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Clarissa. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Dawn.
Good afternoon. I'm an addict named Dawn. First, I want to say I'm grateful to be clean. My life is truly blessed since I decided to get clean. And and I'm very, very nervous. I think for me, the fear of change is what kept me out there for so long. You know, I was afraid to change my friends. I was afraid to change my job. I was afraid of pretty much everything that wasn't in the path that I was going in. And a really interesting thing happened for me. I have an uncle who's also in recovery. And I watched him change. Well, I first watched his life go to shit. And I was never as bad as he was, so I thought. And I watched him get clean, and I watched him stay clean, I watched his life begin to change. And it actually happened. What opened my eyes is we had a family trip to the beach, and this one particular night I stayed all night, got, you know, drunk, didn't make it home. And then the next morning we were meeting for breakfast. And I remember looking at him, you know, through like beer goggles, still drunk from the night before, and looking at him thinking, my God, he looks happy. He was not with me last night. And then, you know, I started telling him, so, you know, what is this all about? What is Narcotics Anonymous? And just listening to him actually sounding like he didn't need to use to have fun. For me, everything was about using. Okay, where are you going to get it? What are you going to do? Who are you going to do it with? And where are we going to get it? It always was, where are you going to get it? And I remember just the clarity in his face and his eyes. He was bright-eyed, and it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and he looked like a completely different person than the person I had known for most of my life. That planted the seed. I didn't get clean then. I had to keep using because I was scared to change. The next year or so, was pretty awful, but yet I was too scared to change. And then finally something happened. I got a DWI, and then I finally had enough. I mean, I had no problem admitting I was an addict. I knew I was powerless. I knew I was an addict. I knew that. I was just scared to change, terrified. So finally when something happened and, my house was being threatened to my house was going to be taken from me if I didn't get clean. So I went to treatment program, and I was introduced quickly, like the very next day, into Narcotics Anonymous. And I remember my first meeting, just sitting there crying. I cried the whole way there, the whole meeting, the whole way home, because I was scared to change. So I guess the point I'm getting at is, you know, when the guy asked me to leave this meeting, I thought, I guess he hasn't heard me share, you know. I was nervous. But this is the one topic I can share on, because change is, the fear of and getting the courage of is a big part of my story. since I've been clean, the fear of change has lessened. I've been able to walk through change only by the grace of God and from being in these rooms for a few 24 hours and learning how to use the steps and learning acceptance and learning that I have a higher power who loves me and wants the best for me. You know, in these rooms, I've gotten married. I've had a child. I've watched, you know, people come and go. I've watched, you know, the death of family members. And I lost the house that got me clean. I think, you know, that was the hardest thing. But because of that, and because the one thing, you know, my sponsor has always, like, embedded in me is take the higher road. And that is something I never did. I went through the sewer and tried to pull you down with me. And through all of this change over this last year with, like, losing my house and, you know, a devastating turn of events between me, my husband, and my father, I got to take the higher road. I got to keep my sidewalk clean, which is new for me. And, you know, and everything's kind of, it's working out. You know, my husband and I are going to settlement on a new house that we're getting ourselves in another month or so. And that is just one of the many blessings I get from coming into these rooms. And that, you know, on a daily basis, you know, I still am a little resistant to change just because I'm still scared. I'm still a scared little girl inside. And unless I know exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and I have everything paved out, I still walk through like I'm walking through a dark tunnel. But I've learned from coming around that, you know what, I will be protected, and there's a lesson in everything, and it's, for me, it's taking the lesson and getting something out of it. You know, not just, you know, beating your head up against the wall and walking away and doing it over and over and over again. My circle of how long it takes me to, I don't know. I lost my track there. Pretty much, life is really good. And I'm so grateful to be clean, and I'm really grateful that we have, you know, these meetings for people like us to come to, that we can open up and share our innermost thoughts, and, you know, where most people, you know, keep this stuff inside, we're able to talk about it. And I'm so grateful for that, because sometimes I think, my God, you know, my coworkers must think I'm a nut. You know, this is the things that come out of my mouth and I forget because I'm used to being so open with the people who are in my life that I think I tell too much. Or a little, you know, they must think, oh my God, what is wrong with her? And I work in the mental health field, so they probably think I fit in. But, today I'm definitely less resistant to change. And I know that I will be taken care of. And before I start making things up, I guess we open up the meeting, or how does that work? So thanks for letting me share.
Before we open up the meeting, to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the microphone one at a time, and also try to keep in mind that there might be another addict who wants to share. That meeting's open.
I'm Linda, and I'm an addict. And I'm glad to be in Ocean City. And I want courage to change. You know, in September, I had a serious heart attack. And I didn't know I had a heart attack until the end, right? And I know it was God's choice that he didn't let me die, right? And the courage to change for me is to sit still a lot of times and let other people take care of me, right? It's real hard sometimes. My son, he be blowing me, right? And I know he loved me, right? He tripped out on me this morning because... you know, I have to take a lot of medication. And a lot of times I don't want to take it, right? But I need it in order to live, right? He was like, Dad, Mom, what's all that right now? I'm like, oh, Lord, right? You know, Because, you know, you can talk real good about what you're doing until the situation hits you, right? I never thought in a million years, right, that a young woman like me would have a heart attack, but I found out that it's hereditary. It runs through my family, and I'm walking around with an ink pen spring in one of my arteries, right? But it's okay, right? And a lot of times people tell me, you need to stay home and rest, but I need to go to meetings, the bottom line, right? Because if I don't go to meetings, I ain't going to even care about my heart, you know? And a lot of times I have to not rush. I have to, like, take slow. The doctor told me that you just got to go a little slower, Linda. You ain't got to lay down and die, but go a little slower, right, you know? And a lot of times, like yesterday was a good example. I was late, waited till the last minute, and I didn't want to worry nobody, and I got the rushing, and my chest got to hurting. But I ain't telling nobody, right, because I don't want to mess up nobody's day, right? It wasn't the pain that I had in September, right? So I told one of my sponsors last night, I said, now the day over, man, my chest was hurting me so bad. She said, why you ain't tell nobody? I said, because I ain't want to mess up nobody's day, though, you know, because I know they would have been tripping on me, right? You always need to go to the hospital. We're just calling the ambulance, right? But the courage to change for me is do something different, take care of myself, and help others, too, because I can't stop helping people. Because I know God used me as a beacon light in recovery just for that reason. And the courage to change for me, girl, is life after marriage, huh? You need to know that, right? And that's what I need to tell you, yeah, right? There is life after marriage in recovery. Wow, you get a second chance, right? So I thought I need to share that. And I appreciate all the ones that's willing to help take care of me, you know. And I appreciate all the ones that support me and don't make me feel so crippled in recovery, because I got to go on. It ain't over yet. It ain't over till he says so. It ain't over till, I ain't going to say the fat lady's thing, right? It ain't over till God says so. And I know he ain't bring me this far to leave me now. So if anybody told me they love you all today, I love you all because of the ties that bind together are stronger than those that tear us apart, and I'm going to keep coming back.
Everyone, my name is Sandra, and I'm an addict. And I'm glad to be in Ocean City once again. This is my second time here. I came here from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I need to get up here and share to know that I have the courage to change, to let my husband go. After 18 months clean, he went back out and started using. You're talking about terrible things. You know, just going through all kind of changes, and he put a warrant out on me after being 50 years old, after using for 30 years, ain't never been in jail, and I'm had to turn myself in, you know, for aggravated assault and reckless endangerment. If the police had to call me when I was out there using, ain't nowhere in the world I say, I'd be glad to come in at 4 o'clock and turn myself in. You know, but, you know, God is good because I have the courage to come up and get some spiritual healing. You know, to come to a convention and hear some things, meet some people, hear some smiles, see some smiles, and be okay with me today, because you know what? I ain't out there with him. Because guess what? Me told me, join him. But guess what? I tell that disease, see ya, get back in your hole, MF, because you ain't got me no more. My God got me. Thanks for letting me share.
Nash Jim, a recovering addict. I just had to get up here because I didn't want this to be no woman's draft. Okay. The women ain't the only one in here know how to change up a few things, you know. But, and I really appreciate the transparency of the young ladies and being able to share your experience, strength, and hope and these workshops. And I'm just filled that you have prepared yourself to carry this message, and that's changed to me, you know, getting ready to do whatever it is that I need to do. You know, a lot of times I just want to go with the flow, you know. And what I've had a lot of anxiety the last since income tax time. I'm a entrepreneur, and that means I'm self-employed. And you know, trying to. This was one year I did not want to get the taxes together, you know. And my wife would ask me, she would say, have you done the taxes? I said, well, I'm getting them ready, you know. About 2 weeks later, she would say, have you done the taxes? I said, I'm working on it, you know. I'm going to call and make an appointment. And anyway, it got down to this week, you know. And, you know, the last day is what, tomorrow? 15th Monday, and I'm like, man, I'm going to the convention, you know, and I know I can't enjoy myself up in here if I don't take care of that business, you know. And so she asked me again, you know, but you know, I am so grateful that my wife has changed, because, you know, she didn't beat me up and cuss me out and tell me what I need to do and call me irresponsible and all of those things. She just kept asking me assertively, you know. And that's for the sisters too, you know. But anyway, the carriage came in, and it's when I was also open-minded to listen to some people talk about what they were doing as business owners and preparing themselves. And I went to see an accountant, and I had made an appointment for somebody else, and I talked to somebody else, and they talked about somebody who helped small businesses get set up, get organized, and things like that. So the character change was to go and take my garbage, all of this business and receipts and all of this stuff, all of this unmanageability that, you know, was like making my life unmanageable and causing me to have all this anxiety and just be imbalanced, you know. And this is what some years clean, and this is what some time in business. But the deal was that I wanted to be in business. I don't want to be in business. I want to be in business, you know. I want to be a responsible, productive member of society that y'all talk about in here, that y'all taught me to be. I don't want to be the type of person that's carrying the message and not get the message. You know what I'm saying? I want to live this message, you know. I want to get the full benefits of what you people have, of what these principles are all about. So I took the business to them, and, man, we ended up getting back almost as much as we did when we first bought our house. And I'm like, what in the world was I worried about?
I'm Galen. I'm a gratefully recovering addict. I just moved here late February from California. And San Francisco, actually, I was running around in circles doing the same thing for about 2 years. It'd be like, take a cab, caught some crack, catch a cab back to my house, smoke the crack, catch a cab, you know what I'm saying? Like, circles for like 2 years. And like, it was completely insane. I put myself in a lot of dangerous situations then. Could have been killed a few times. The last day when I hit my bottom, I'm so nervous, I'm shaking. The last day when I hit my bottom, I had an experience where I took a ride from a cab driver, a free ride. He asked me to go out to lunch with him. He ended up giving me a joint. I don't know if it was marijuana or what, but I noticed he didn't take a hit off of it. I thought he was going to raid me and all sorts of stuff. Luckily, I got home safe, and when I got home, I realized that I had had a rosary in my purse, and I was just like, I got God on my side, you know, and I just dropped to my knees, and I said, I believe in you, God. Like, that was when I think I really, my faith just hit me, you know, and I looked in the mirror and, like, I saw myself for what I really was, because I had been in denial for, like, I used drugs for about 9 years constantly, and the person in the reflection, my reflection was, like, screaming at me, and she was crying, and she was like, I'm not happy, you need to grow up, and she was just telling me how it really was, and I knew that I had to change, you know what I mean? I knew that I asked God for courage to change, and I called my mother and asked her if she would put me in an inpatient program, and she flew me back, and he gave me courage to change, and I actually ended up getting kicked out of the inpatient due to a rehab romance 26 days down the line. That was at Mountain Manor. I don't know if any of y'all have been there. there was three couples, all right, three couples. Now, the other two couples, they were sleeping with each other. I know this as a fact. All I did was kiss the boy, and somebody was spying, somebody was hating, whatever. And they said, y'all need to pack your stuff and go. So we were like, me, he's my boyfriend now, but we were like, I hope we see some of the counselors down here, actually. But he is a really good influence on me, and we're both like, we're not going to use just because they kicked us out. And I ended up going to an outpatient program thinking that might help, and it's like, there's like 10 girls, like 5 of them are still using, and they all had relapsed within the past 24 hours, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stick to NA, I'm going to go to as many meetings, because I know that NA will keep me clean. You know, NA will keep me clean. I have 40 days clean and sober today, and I just want to thank my higher power for giving me strength to share, and I also look at this thing as it is in Ocean City. It's almost like a test for us, you know what I mean, because there's like bars on every corner and stuff like that, but I feel really strong today, and I'm happy to be here with all y'all, and thanks for letting me share.
That's what I want, a rehab relationship. I'm Jaren, I'm a worthwhile addict. I want to read you something here. I wrote it while I was walking down the CNO canal, and I was blaming everybody for what was happening in my life, three people in particular. Wow. And I walked the CNO canal almost every day, and I was watching the leaves turn, and I wrote this down. The results of my life that continue to unfold before me stand as a living monument to the decisions that I have either chosen to make and act upon or run away from in fear of what may or may not happen. And what that meant is that I'm responsible. I'm responsible for the consequences of my life. And the roads that I choose to walk on aren't necessarily the roads that my higher power would wish for me to walk on. And I blame God for a lot of things. I blame God for a mother that left me with a horrible father after he broke her back, after my brother caught on fire and died. And I stayed with him, and he was a monster. And I paid for it for a long time. And through my anger, I wanted to get even. And as soon as I started using, within 6 months, I was on indefinite probation. I was, this is by the time I was 12, and I got in and out of institutions and detentional facilities, in and out until just before my 18th birthday, and filled with anger, pointing my finger, and that was not my higher power's will, although I misconstrued it. I thought that my life was a sick joke, and it wasn't. I realized not that long ago that my higher power, I believe, didn't take any pleasure in seeing me go through this, And through my recovery, my recovery date is April 13th, 1985, there's been an incline of growth, an incline of me letting go and trying to walk with my higher power. But I've also held on to a lot of things, you know, a lot of behaviors that would make me feel safe, you know, that would make me feel more comfortable inside of my own skin. But that meant holding on to a lot of character defects. And sometimes you got to let go of these behaviors to feel that uncomfortability, to find out why you want to respond like this. Why do you want to act like that? And so since the fall time, I've let go of a lot of things, and whether they've come to me or whether I've wanted to go to them, and while doing my steps, while working with sponsors, while working with newcomers, going to a lot of meetings, and doing a lot of praying, writing in my journal almost every night, you know, like a 10-step. What am I doing today? And seeing stuff I wouldn't have seen, because through the day I go so quickly, you know. But through the night, sometimes I can relax a little bit more, and I can write it down, and it slows me down, and I can see what I'm doing today. And the truth is that I am vulnerable, and I am sensitive, and I'm an addict that has a disease that will take me out, man. Will take me out, but I'm the kind of addict that will want to take everybody out with me. And that's the truth. And so the people in my life, if they're not being all that good to me, you know, I got to ask myself, why am I choosing them? You know, sometimes it's a safe relationship like that, and because I'm used to it, and I don't like the vulnerability. I don't like it. And but I wanted to come up here and I wanted to share this, and maybe through the vulnerability and not responding to a lot of my other character defects, I'll be able to go to another stage. So thanks for letting me share.
I need to thank God for his grace and his mercy. And y'all people keep me clean one more day. I mean, just a day. You know, character change for me, man, it's like, look, I came here and I got 22 months clean. And I called, wait a minute, hold up. I ain't finished yet. I called myself working the first 5 steps. But see, one thing about the step work that I found out, it's like, it's 4 fasts or something. It's reading, understanding, internalization, and application of it. And what happened, I didn't internalize and I didn't put any application to it. And I left. But I found some courage to get back here. And when I found the courage to come back here, I had to actually take a real good look at me. And what I had to look at was my ego, my thinking, and everything. And when I got back here, man, it was like, when I got here the first time, I came here to save a job. And I come to realize I came here to save my life when I came back the second time. And when I got back here, it was like, what are you going to do different? You know, and what I found out, man, I wanted to do something different in my life. So I made a decision to go back to school after being back here 5 months. And I was real scared to do this because it was like 20 years later after high school. You know, and Wednesday, I completed the school I went to, you know, and see, that was only because I had the courage to walk through the door. But God opened the door for me to walk through it. And I walked through it and I completed this process. But see, I went back to school for a career, you know, and it's about change. And you got to find courage to change things in your life. You know, I made a big decision for a whole year not to work. I did a lot of step work on self, looked at self. Went to school, didn't get paid nothing, you know. Just had enough courage just to know that God had me, you know. And see, one of the things that I'm real proud of, man, is that, like, I had a sponsor the first time around here, and he moved to Ocean City. And, you know, I wanted to come to the convention this weekend, and I had no money to get here. I called my old sponsor, and he said, look, only thing you got to do is show up. I got you. So you tell me God don't work, but you got to have the courage to walk through some things around here. You know, if you don't have the courage to walk through, nothing will work. You know, I felt a lot of courage just being able to open my mouth and be honest about where I'm at in my life. And when I've done that, my life has changed tremendously. You know, right now I'm on this high, but I know it's only God working for me and y'all people helping me. Each day I find the courage to tell myself, I am not the great I am. I am not the one who have all the answers. The only person I get the answers from is y'all when I tell y'all my thinking and what my actions want to be, and I go through the opposite. That's what this thing is all about for me. Not running on own thinking, you know. So when I find the courage to let somebody know where I'm really at in my life, that's when the true help comes to me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. My name is John John. I'm an addict. And this workshop right here probably is the workshop to make my whole convention. Wow. You know, I was sitting there listening to everybody sharing. It dawned on me. Like, I came back into this program October 26th this last year, right? Police had just ran in my house with the Fairfax County Organized Crime Unit, the state police, and the DEA looking for me, wanting to search my premises, and I went on the run. I was on the run for about 6 months, and I got clean. You know, I was tired of running. You know, I got clean because my money ran out. Did nobody want me to show up their door no more because they were scared the feds was going to come there looking for me. You know what I'm saying? My own mother ain't want me coming there. I didn't see my son. You know, so I went to a program, got clean, got out, but I wasn't really ready to change. I was still on the run. I didn't want to turn myself in. I was going to meetings every day, calling my sponsor every day, working on the steps, but I was still living that dirty life. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have the courage to step in there and take care of my business. You know what I'm saying? And I went back out. You know, about 2 months ago, I went back out. I went, you know, and, you know, 10 days ago, I had a dope habit, a pistol on my hip, and a pocket full of crack. You know what I'm saying? I was right back where I started from again, still on the run, still wanted. You know, and I found myself, you know, in the same position with nobody to help, because then nobody wanted me around. So I called my father on the phone. I said, look, let me come to your house and kick this dope habit. You know what I'm saying? Give me 7 days to kick this dope habit, and I'll go turn myself in. You know, and so he let me come there. You know, the police kicked. Last Wednesday, I told my mother, I said, if you come pick me up, I'll go turn myself in. I ain't never turned myself in for nothing in my life. You know what I'm saying? It goes against everything I ever learned, everything that ever taught to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a fourth generation felon. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so last Wednesday, you know, my mother took me, and the police was running in her house looking for me as she was taking me down. I was on the phone with the organized crime unit saying, look, I'm coming in, and they were saying, well, we got people, you know, my little brother was calling my mother on her cell phone saying, well, they running in here right now looking for him, you know, and only thing I can say is I remember my mom's got 22 years clean and sober, you know what I'm saying, and you know, she pulled me up in front of the jail, and I looked my mom in the face, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm about to be more man than I've ever been in my life. Because, you know, I've done a lot of wild shit out there. But for me to have the courage, you know, to me that's what courage is about. Not the courage to put the pistol on people's faces and all that, but the courage to walk into that jail and say, I surrender. You know, and mean it on a deeper level than they could ever understand. Thanks, let me share.
Thank you to everybody who shared. I've asked someone to read just for today.